Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to say something that I want this to just kind of maybe prick your heart or grab your attention or whatever it can do. But I pray that this will grab you, because gnosis, which is the Greek word, epignosis is the Greek word that's translated, you shall know. The word know is epignosis, which the root Greek word is gnosis, which means knowing. It doesn't have anything to do with intellectual knowledge, but it has everything to do with revelation knowledge. And that, you see, revelation knowledge has no prerequisite for you as far as your educational ability, as far as your culture, your race, or anything. Revelation knowledge is knowledge that comes from the Spirit of God that is available to any and everybody. And another word for that is gnosis, or knowing. You will know the truth. It's more in the knowing than it is in your ability to quote a scripture. Because what you would call a scripture and say this is truth to someone else, it may not be that. But it's in knowing. It's when you know. It has to do with intimacy. It has to do with being intimate. In. Being one with. And so, gnosis or knowledge, and another word that I'm using these three words. Gnosis, divine knowledge, and revelation. Now sometime this year, I don't know when, but sometime this year, I plan to do quite a bit of teaching out of the book of Revelation, because the book of Revelation is exactly what it says that it is. It is the revelation of Jesus Christos. Jesus deals with the natural man. Christos deals with the God-man. And it's the combination of the two. It's making heaven and earth one man. It's always been God's purpose and God's plan. It's always been to combine the two, the male and the female, the husband and the wife. You have these analogies over and over and over in this book we call Scripture, where God is trying to show us that oneness, that we are one with God, that we're not separated from God. This is God's constant theme that He does. So when you talk about the book of Revelation, the revelation, apocalyptos, the word apocalyptos just simply means to uncover, to pull the veil back. In other words, to remove the scale so you can see. And most of us see through a glass very darkly, very dimly. But God wants you and me to see face to face, like a man does with his wife, intimately, one with. And that's what revelation is all about. So revelation, now hear me, listen to me. Revelation is where God pulls back the darkness and shines in the light. And I want to talk about that, because it's the light of God that shines through the door of your heart when you and I open the door of our heart. How many of you ever heard that phrase that Jesus is at the door knocking? Have you ever heard that taken out of Revelation chapter 3? That He's at the door. That's not just something that's there by haphazard. That's not just something that God's doing to just a certain people. That's something that God's doing to everybody all over the world all the time. It's just that most of us do not hear it, do not sense it, do not know it, because of the darkness. The darkness has to do with layers and levels of pain that we have lived in. Help us out to hear this, Lord. So what God wants to do is shine the light through the door of our heart when we open up to Him. And when we open ourselves up to God, God's unlimited love and God's ability will just burst forth and come out. And so that's what God wants you and I to see and to understand. It has to do with revelation. It has to do with knowledge. So when you read this passage with me here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for examples." Now what Paul is explaining here is that there are vessels of light, I mean, have you ever heard that phrase, vessels of light? Paul is explaining that there are vessels of light that we can look for and follow the light. God, give us an ear to hear it. Not follow the vessel. Major difference. Follow the light that emanates out of the vessel. Because if you focus on the vessel, there is not a vessel that's in human form that if you just focus on that vessel, you will find flaws. You'll find somewhere to fault that person, man, woman. It don't matter. But if you focus on the light, now, and everybody say light. Because I'm going to talk about light this morning, because light's not what you think light is. And that's something that amazes me. We think light's one thing and it's another thing. And it's no wonder that we can't find the light because we're looking for the wrong thing. And sometimes we're looking for the wrong thing in the wrong places. So he's talking about, when he said mark them, he's talking about the light, vessels of light that God is working through and emanating through. Paul used himself as that example. He would constantly say, follow me, I'm an example. Follow me as I follow the light. He was saying that I look to the Lord Jesus and I follow Him. He even said in one passage, he used the Greek word mimetes, which means to mimic, to act like. Just like a child tries to act like his father. Just like a child tries to walk in his father's footsteps. Y'all heard the stories and the analogies of the child and how he sees and looks up to his father. It don't matter if his father is a righteous man or an unrighteous man. The child looks up to him and admires him. It's just God imprinted, God encoded that in our being. And He encoded that in our being so that we could emanate and follow the light. So he says, verse 18, it says, for many walk, of whom I have told you, and I now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Verse 20. For our conversation, and it's here in the Greek, is the Greek word politiomi, which we get our word politics. And it actually just means our citizenship or our social rights. Our social rights or our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also look. You know, and last week I talked about this word look. It doesn't mean to look at something as is you are visualizing or seeing something. It actually means to fully expect something. So what he's saying, and I watch this verse again, it says our citizenship is in heaven, and from there we fully expect the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 21, to change our vile bodies. Now that's important that you hear what I just said. He said that we have to fully expect the Lord Jesus to change our vile body. The word body is the Greek word soma, which just means slave. He said, you have to thoroughly expect the Jesus Christos to change your body, the slave that you have. Most of us are a slave to our body and not a slave to Christ that's in our body. Most of us are a slave to our body of darkness and its habits and its addictions and the things that it wants. And we would all have to nod our head and say, yes, I am. Because most of us become subservient or slaves to the body. But what God is after for you and me is that we are not a slave to the body. We become slave to the Spirit and allow the Spirit to bring our body as bond slaves or slaves of love. And that's what he said. But now hear this. You see, this is something that you can't do. I mean, you ought to throw up your hands and say, hallelujah. You can't do it. And with the best of your trying and the best of your ability, you still can't do it. We all have tried. We all have failed and tried and failed and tried and fasted and prayed. I spoke in tongues so much that sometimes my tongue swell up in my mouth. You know, I remember years and years ago, I went through this thing, can't you pray for 1 hour? And I said, oh God, yeah, I can do it. And so, you know, you just mustered up a strength and buddy for 1 hour. You just You try it for 1 hour and just see what happens. I've done it day in and day out. Labor, labor, labor. Trying to get my old body to submit. Trying to get me holy. Trying to get me not to see a short skirt day. Whoa! Trying to get me not to smoke a cigarette. Trying to get me not to death, not to, not to, not to. And I couldn't do it. And they can't nobody do it. You can't do it. You see, this is where such a mystery is at. You see, change or being transformed is not something that you can do. It's only something God does. And it's not complicated. It's not hard. And it's not difficult the way God does it. All God is after is a yielded, willing vessel. Then He can do it. Our problem is to get there. Be yielding, be willing, and yielded, and just be a vessel. Say, well, here I am, Lord. Work in me, work through me, and I give myself to you. And that's a difficult thing. Okay, let me read through this again. Verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from where we expect fully the Savior, Lord Jesus Christos, to change, verse 21, to change, to transform. That word change means transform. We fully expect Jesus Christ to transform our body that it might be fashioned like unto His body. Did you see that? We expect Him to change this slave, which is my body, so that it would be just exactly like His glorious slave, which was His body. And so this is all God is saying. I'm just asking you right now just to give yourself over to the Spirit, to let the Spirit do this very thing. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, let's see if we can figure out how we can do it. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. You're there. Just quickly turn back next door. Ephesians chapter 5. Give our vile body. He wants us to just give our body, our slave, over to Him and His glorious body, His slave, so that we would be transformed or changed. And I believe that's what we all want. We want to be transformed. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 8 with me. I'm reading from King James. Ephesians 5 and 8 says, For we were sometimes darkness. That's what the King James says. You may have another translation that will say, you were at one time darkness. Anybody see some heads nod? You were once darkness. Now watch what he says. He said, you were once or at one time darkness, but now you are light. How? In the Lord. Walk as the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit, and actually the word here is light. Now listen, the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. See, that's what he's saying the light will do. Verse 11. You have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake. Now we'll talk some about that. Awake. This word is used in the book of Matthew for Jesus. It talks about after His resurrection. In other words, it ties awakening to the word resurrection. They're tied up together. So when you awake, you are actually being raised from the dead. Or you are being in the resurrection. Now in literalism, or fundamental Christianity that most of us have all been brainwashed and twisted our minds in, most of us have experienced that, whether you were experiencing it in church or out of church, we have been taught some really weird, crazy ideas rather than just being taught the simple truth. God wants us to awaken or to be resurrected or just simply stand up or just simply let God flow through us. Let the light that's in us just begin to break forth out of us so that people can see the light of God that's within all of us. That's what Jesus was referring to when he said that don't put your light under a bushel, but put your light up on a hill so that the world can see the city of light, so that the world can see the city of God, who you are, the people of God, so that your light just emanates and goes out. Now, I know this is confusing to us somewhat because we just constantly think of light like the sun lights the earth. We think of light like these lights in this room that gets this room light so we can walk in here and not stumble and see where we're going and all that. But that's really not what the word light is all about. Let me just read a little bit further here. Verse 14, he says, "Wherefore," he said, "awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you this light." Christ shall give you this light. Now, go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And you all know this passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 11. Let me just read it out of King James, verse 28. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." L-I-G-H-T. My burden is light. Now, again, I want to read this to you, and I want you to just listen. You don't have to read it from your translation. Really what I want you to do is just listen to it, and let me read it to you out of this translation. He says, Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. I'll cause you to rest. Now, listen, I really believe there's not a person in this room that's not talking to. I really believe that there's not a person on the face of the earth that does not get heavy laden, burdened down, beat up. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not beat up, burdened down because of God. You're not beat up and burdened down because of the Spirit. You're beat up and burdened down because of you. Because of the darkness. Because of your slave. Your physical body. Now, it does it to be that way, but there's not anybody. You see, one of our great problems is judgment. Here, one of our great issues is our ability to judge one another. Our ability to look at somebody and condemn them. Listen to me. That's one of our great burdens, is judging people, looking at people, condemning people because they did something that we turned wrong, bad, evil. That's how we judged it. We didn't see what they were doing through the eyes of God that's in them. We didn't. So therefore we judge them by our own carnal mind and our own darkness because of the way that we think or we feel. You see, I use this illustration about me and Connie. And I say this, and I know that it upsets especially religious people and religious minds. But me and Connie went through some real hell in a physical sense. But do you know all the way through that real hell that we were walking through, did you know that there was someone we couldn't see walking in front of us, leading us through that misery and through that pain, through the adultery, through the hurt, through the anger? Did you know that the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty was leading us through all of that?
That's right.
And see, most people would want to look at that and judge us and say, well, how could he or she be this or that because they did this and they did that? well, we did this and we did that simply because this is how God led us to be and to do. And as God began to lead us, we just walked that way. And do you know what? For us, it worked for our salvation. For us, it worked for our healing. And do you know what? It won't work any different for anybody else if they're willing and yielded to take the walk. You see, I was telling someone the other day, I said, you know, God's purpose for everybody's life is to walk from here to the top of that mountain, wherever that mountain is. God's destination for everybody's life is for you to conquer that mountain. But I'm going to tell you something. In your journey from here to that mountain, there are many times that you'll get lost in your valley and turn and actually walk away from that mountain because you can't even see it. Simply because the pain and the darkness is so great. And if you go by those around you who mean good, who mean well, who are, quote, Christians that condemn you and tell you all of these things, you'll never make it to the top of your mountain because you'll never walk through the journey. Because you will always be moved and manipulated by those sounds around you rather than that conviction and that spirit that's within you. Everybody, God's called you to the top of a mountain. And I'm going to tell you something, as you climb that mountain there many times, you're going to slide yourself right back down. Many times. And I don't know how many times. And I'm going to say it this way. I really don't know how many lives you'll have to live to climb past that place where you keep falling back. But I guarantee you, you'll make it one day. You may tell you why. Because greater is He that's in you than he that keeps causing you to slide off the edge of that cliff. And when you and me can get to a place where we can trust God, not believe some religious jargon, not believe some doctrine and dogma, but when we get to a place where we can trust God, you'll take hold and you'll climb your mountain. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, it can be a lot closer than you think if you and me will just give this vile body, this physical slave, over to being the Spirit and let the Spirit take this and turn it into a glorious body. Like His. Like His. Hallelujah. And drop the pointing of the finger. Now listen. Listen to this translation. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. I will cause you to rest. I will ease and I will relieve and I will refresh your soul. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and I am meek and I am humble and lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your soul. Hallelujah. Now listen, I think this is my wife's favorite verse right here. He says, for my yoke is wholesome, useful, and good. Are y'all listening? It's not harsh. It's not hard. It's not sharp. And it's not pressing. But it's comfortable. It's gracious. And it's pleasant. And my burden is light. And it's easy to be bore. Now, I want to say something about the yoke. And I want you to just listen to me. The yoke is a code word. I remember when I was a little boy, my grandpa had a mule, and we plowed with that mule, and we logged with that mule. And believe it or not, you know, I'm 39, but been there a while. Believe it or not, I plowed with old Rhodey, that old mule. You know, worked the reins and logged with that old mule, set the log out. You know, it's just a little bitty kid. But we had to do that. That's just something we had to do. Now, I understood what a yoke was. I know what a yoke is. But the Hebrew word, and the Hebrew word yoke, actually is a code word. And it's coded in Scripture for power. That's all it is. It's a code word that just simply means power. And it also is a code word that comes from the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, called the Aleph. I could describe it for you, but I'm just trying to share something with you. It comes from the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is Aleph, which means number one. It means number one. It also means, and y'all listen, it also means ox and yoke. It also means both of them. It means ox, it means yoke, which actually is a symbolism for power. Power. That's what it's trying to say. It is, the Aleph is the first Hebrew letter in the Tetragrammaton, which is the the code name of God, that when Moses talked to God and God said, tell them I am. Tell them that I am. It is translated into the Hebrew language as YHWH. Yahweh is how we try to say it. We don't know how to say it. That's just how we've tried to say it. And that first letter in that code name for God is Aleph, which means yoke or ox or power. It's also the first letter in the name Adam. Aleph. It's the first letter. Code word. It means power. And what it means, spirit. And the word Adam, power, it means blood. And what he's saying is it's the spirit in the blood. It's the power in the blood. Well, the blood has to do with the humanity, the flesh. You see, it's the spirit, it's the breath, it's the wind, it's the olive, it's the ox, it's the yoke that's in you that can change you. Not you. You can't do it. And that oak, that ox, that yoke, that olive, that Adam, that Yahweh that's in you, that's the power of God that's in every man to change every man. Hallelujah. It's there. It's there. It's God innate in human being. It's there to transform us, to heal us, to help us. He said, my yoke is wholesome. It's useful. It's good. It's not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing. Now, our lives are lived like a bent tree. If you take a tree and you bend this tree, after so many years, that tree just grows that way. It just grows bent. That's the way it grows. That's the way most of our lives is. Our lives have grown bent. Bent from what? Bent from the hurt. I could go in here and I could start picking out, saying things. You could say, well, he's just doing that spirit. Well, I really could. I don't have to necessarily know you sometimes to look in your eyes and tell you where you got some hurt and some pain at. Living life. But I'm going to tell you something. Living life in this earth journey is not easy. It's not always pleasant. And we carry lots of pains as a cause. We're bent. And you see, what God comes along and does, and He frees us up. And when God frees us up, did you know we just stay bent over? And you know, God didn't, He don't get mad or upset about that. Say, well, won't you stand up straight? Well, no, God, I've been bent this way my whole life. You know, I've been bent like this for a long time. You know, God, well, just stand up straight. No, God don't do that. You know what? God just, He walks along with you bent. And He knows walking along with you bent, He'll straighten you up in due time. He'll pull you right back up. But do you know what you'll always have a tendency to do? You're going to always have a tendency to go back bent. It's sort of like you have a piano that gets out of tune, stays out of tune for a long time, and anybody can come tune it, and they'll tell you this. I bet the same thing with a guitar. If it's been bent this way for a long time, you can tune it and pull it back, but it has a tendency to go back to the way it was bent. See, there's not anybody that doesn't have a tendency to go back over to the way that they were. God doesn't pass judgment on you. God doesn't condemn you because you do that. God is an ever-present, constant help, always pulling you back in love, in nurturing, in tenderness, pulling you back to where that compassion is flowing out of you, pulling you back so that you awaken and let the light which is in you be the light that will transform you. In other words, getting right back over to the olive, the ox, the yoke, the power of God that's inside you to do what God has designed it to do. The Gospel of John, the first chapter. When the Scripture, the Bible as we call it, when it talks about light, or it talks about the light of God, it's not meant to be something that's like the sun that gives us daytime, or like the night that gives that is the opposite of this, of the daytime, or it's not like a light that lights up a room to help you see. It's all, the word is always a symbol. For instance, if I was to take you to Genesis chapter 1, and I were to show you, it talks about two great lights. It says God put one light to rule this and one lesser light to rule that. There were always symbols. Always symbols. Always. One of our problems is when we begin to swallow the lie about literalism. Literalism is one of the greatest deceptions that me and you have ever believed. Trying to make everything a literal thing. For instance, trying to make God a literal human being like as unto us.
That's right.
And that's a real, to wade through that is difficult, because it's hard for me and you to realize that God is not a literal human being like we are. God is everywhere all the time and nowhere at the same time. Put that in your peace pipe smoking. You see, you can't corner God. What I always tried to see was God's ever unchangeableness. And then what I come to recognize is that God is ever always changing. And I said, whoa, what does that do to your brain? I tell you what that does to your brain. It stretches your brain plumb out of shape, because you can't wrap your brain around that. Because you can't wrap your brain around God. You can't box God up. You can't put God in a building somewhere in the Middle East and go visit Him. Or pray that you'll have a place on Glory Road next to His mansion. See, all that literalism has really done tremendous damage to us as far as the real things of the Spirit. And when you're talking about God as light, God is a light. It's a symbol, it's a metaphor, it's an analogy. Now listen to me. Any place you read light, light means love. It means forgiveness. It means patience. It means kindness. It means meekness. It means temperance. It means long-suffering. It means gentleness. So when you're talking about, when He says walk in the light, as He's in the light, you know what He's saying? He's saying walk gently. Walk forgiving. Walk loving. Walk with kindness. Walk being patient. Walk being temperate. Try walk being meek. That's walking in the light. I'm not talking about, you see, it don't matter if it's daytime or nighttime, you can walk in forgiveness. It don't matter if it's daytime or nighttime, you can walk being meek. It don't matter if it's daytime or nighttime, you can walk being patient. I've heard people say, well, I wish I had patience. You do. You just ain't using it. I've heard people, I wish I was a little more kind. You are. You're just not using it. Why? Because we have become a slave to this vile body. And whatever this vile body is trying to just roar and scream and holler and be and do, that's what me and you are doing. Whereas God is just simply saying, no, walk in the light as He is in the light, and you will have koinonia. You will have fellowship one with another. It don't matter what they did or what they didn't did. It don't matter where they are or where they are not. Because you can walk with them in patience, just like God walks with you and I. In patience, in love, in kindness. In knowing that you will make it, praise God. You will reach that destination. You will climb that mountain. You will go where God's designed you to go. You know why? God loses nothing. God loses nothing. Light is a metaphor for love and forgiveness, for patience and kindness and meekness and temperance and long-suffering and gentleness. And when Scripture talks about walking in the light, it means that you and I can live our life in love. We can live our life forgiving. We can live our life in kindness. We can live our life with these different attributes. Now listen to me. The battle of the great work, the battle that you and me face, the demons that you fight, the warfare that you have to do is not a warfare against Saddam Hussein. It's not a warfare against Iraq or Iran. It's not a warfare against Palestine or Israel. The warfare is a warfare against your own self. It's against your own vile body. It's bringing your heart and your mind, your body in submission. Just in a total submission where you just surrender and say, oh Lord, not my will but your will. It's a place where you come and you throw yourself at the feet of the mercies of of Almighty God. That's what grace is all about. It's where you come before God and say, God, I can't, you can. It's where you come to that place and you surrender and you give up and you say, here I am. And I'm going to tell you, you may have to do it 1,000 times a day. A day. A day. And never judge and never condemn. But I tell you, me and you will get up more and more in the image of light. We will get up more and more walking in love. We will get up more and more with patience and love and kindness and meekness and temperance and all of the things that the light is. Hallelujah. It's just a surrender. It's just bringing ourselves. The battle of the great work is you labor to cast out your own demons. I can't cast them out for you. I remember when Connie and I was personally just laboring for one of our loved ones going through an issue, and the only way I can labor was not to condemn them and not to beat them up, but to love them. You think that's not difficult? Hallelujah. It's difficult. It's difficult for you to turn someone over and say, Father, I'm going to tell you, you got to work your own salvation out. You cannot work it out for your kids, your grandkids, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. You can't do it. If you think that laboring against the demons of your own mind to turn someone over, or even in yourself, is a piece of cake and a cakewalk, you're wrong. It is not easy. It's difficult. It's difficult to cast out your own vain imaginations. It's difficult for you to put on that armor that and enter into that battle. That's a difficult thing to do. The battle of the great work is where you labor to enter into, to where you can cast the demons out rather than look outside of yourself and do something, fight something, or win something. The great work of transformation, the great work of change takes place inside you. It doesn't take place inside somebody. It takes place inside you. The Gospel of John, the first chapter, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Everybody say light. Verse 5, and the light shined in the darkness. Did you hear that? Did you see that? Where is it at? The light that's shining in darkness is the light that's in every man. I'll show you this. Verse 5. The light shined in the darkness, but the darkness couldn't comprehend it or hold it or stop it. It cannot do it. It's just what's so beautiful. We'll just drop down to verse 9. We'll kind of cut it short. This was the true light which lights every man. Say every man. Amen. See, there's not a man, woman, boy, girl comes into the world don't have this light in them. What happens to the light is we put layer and layer and layer and layer and layer of pain on top of it. It's still there. It's just, how many of you have ever walked across a concrete sidewalk or driveway and saw a crack in it, and boom, right up through that crack come a blade of grass. Little old tender green blade of grass pushed its way right up through that hard shell. Well, see, that's how our soma, our body, the slave, it's like concrete. It's hard, harsh, sharp, pressing. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something deep down inside there. Inside you, inside me. It's called the light of God, and it's pushing, it's pressing. It's not there because some preacher preaching hellfire and condemnation on you. It's not there because you've been beat up by some religious dogma doctrine. It's there because God put it in there, and there's no hard shell gonna keep it back. Dear Lord, that'll be a song. There ain't no hard shell gonna keep that light from bursting forth. It's gonna come out. I mean, and all we need to do is just learn to love and let the light come out. Verse 9, that was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him. Here, you just accept what he can do, what he is, who he is. Let him do the rest. As many as receive him, to them he gave power. Here's this ox, this yoke. Here it is. To become sons of God. Becoming is a transformation. It's not just a being, it's being. It's a transformation. It's just change. Hallelujah. Change. It's where God begins to change us from the inside to the outside. One of the hardest things that I have found myself facing are people around me that I love that I don't want to confront because they're harsh, hard, sharp, and pressing. And do you know what God does? He keeps putting them in my face. Just keeps doing it. And now you know what I do? I say, bless God, I don't want to deal with this. I don't need to talk to him or her. I don't need this in my life. And boom, right there, it comes right back. Somewhere or another, it could be that guy that pulled out in front of you and you had to slam on your... and you started cussing and calling that. And you know what? Believe it or not, that was God. And all God's doing is trying to teach you something. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you're doing or where you're going. God's going to keep putting them things in your life. You can just bet your bippy on that. He'll keep putting those things in. You know why? Because God wants you to face that giant, that demon. God wants you to see that for what it is. And when you do, you realize it's not no big deal. Greater is he that's in you than that. I had an issue that's happened to me this week with something, and just boom, it's right there. And I said, God, okay. I don't want to do this. I don't want to face this situation. It won't go away. Boom, there it is. You know what God said? Just learn to be light. Learn to go back and yield to the love, to the forgiveness. I told someone this week, I said, you just need to forgive him. And they said, I'll never do that my whole life. And I said, then you'll be the one that will be hurt by it.
That's right.
Not him. Well, I can't forgive him. You can. And you will. How do you do? You draw down inside you where that love is at. Because it's there. It's in everybody. You draw on that. I said, okay, God, here we go. We're going to try again. We're going to try to climb up this slick place on this mountain. That's that person, that angry, that... I'm going to go another way around the mountain. There's a slick spot around there where you're going to stop. Hello. Amen. See, I mean, you know, there's no way you can go ahead and do it. Because that's what God wants us to do. Amen. Let's all stand up, my dear.
I've said this before, but we've got a lot of people here that may not have heard it, but this is something I'm learning, and everybody's got a gauge inside them. You've got a compass, a gauge to see how you're doing, and once you realize you have that gauge, I mean, you can change your thought pattern right away. It's like the negative and the positive that's in your life. Okay, when negative comes to you, like I'm thinking you have an ordeal with somebody, and you feel rage, you feel hatred, or you're jealous, or you're envious. Now, I know everybody here has had something like that in your life before. And I just want you to gauge it the next time something negative comes to you. I want you to gauge how you feel. I want you to gauge how you're thinking. When that's in you, are you thinking positive or are you thinking negative? There's not a positive thing going on inside you at that time when you're jealous or envious or just angry. So gauge that, how you feel. Okay, then if you turn loose that, say, God, this is not worth feeling this way. This is not worth losing my joy, feeling like I'm estranged from you. It's not worth it. I free that person. I choose not to go there. I'm going to love that person. Start thinking positive, and I tell you, you can feel it. There's a heaviness on you, people. You're heavy laden with negative. And I know what y'all go through with what you feel for your son. I'm telling you, if you feel yourself going down and your faith is draining from you, get a hold of something positive that God has done for you. Get a hold of the positive, and it will give you more faith. It will strengthen your faith. I know, you know, you may think it's not fair. God, this is just not fair. But think of something God has done for you in the past. What He's already brought you through. And why has He brought you through? Why has He brought you this far? You know, have faith in that. Have hope in that. Because I know, you know, just with our grandkids and what sicknesses they go through, how you can lay in bed at night and think of things that you hope don't happen. And I tell you, it will make a sleepless night, and it doesn't do anything good for you or your faith in standing for your loved ones. So, and I've just learned, when you get heavy, you better get rid of it. Because you are not going nowhere where you want to go with God in answers to your prayers. It makes a lot of sense to me. It works for me. It has worked for me. I pray it works for everybody. If you practice, makes you perfect. Just keep practicing that and think about that. Positive to negative. Positive gets you everywhere with God.
Amen.